Take your Bible.
Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I was talking to a man the other day, and he was talking to me about playing guitar. And I said, you're not supposed to play the guitar. He said, why is that? I said, the Bible said, fret not. But anyway, thought I'd wake you up a little bit. It didn't help, but some of you laughed. Some of you are saying groaning out there, amen. I'll tell you what, the Bible says, fret not. Here's some things that God tells us to do. Things we must do in a Christian life. First of all, he says, fret not thyself. Worry what's going on with these evildoers. Sometimes we get so upset about what's going on in this world, we take our mind off the compass of life. And we start looking around and we start being so discouraged about life. Listen, you keep watching those evildoers, you're gonna crash and burn. You ought to be minding what you're supposed to do. You know, when an airline pilot is flying, I want him to behave himself. I don't want him to be a drunk up in the cockpit. I want him to be behaving himself and paying attention from point A to point B so that this guy, I don't want anything. I just don't want my wife's husband to get hurt. That's the way it is, amen? And I want people to keep their mind on what they're doing. And I think we have a lot of Christians today, unfortunately, we don't keep our mind on what we're doing. Our objective this life is, number one, we are not the center of the universe. I am not the center of the universe. It's amazing how many times God shows me that, amen? God is the center of the universe. It is my responsibility to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And when I am always concerned about what the other fellow is doing is causing trouble and heartache and sorrow, you know, all of a sudden I realize that I just got to get back to what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be glorifying the Heavenly Father's name. I'm supposed to be out there telling people about Jesus Christ, telling the way of truth and the life, bringing honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. That's really what I'm supposed to do. And so when you read these scriptures, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And then verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently on him. Verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. David, boy, he really knew what was going on in his life, you know, and a lot of times we in our lives we get so caught up of all the troubles, and there are a lot of troubles out there today. I don't know if you read the newspaper today about all the drugs and everything we have in Great Falls. So true. You'd be afraid if you rode at night with a police officer and see all the things that are going on in the darkness. It's incredible. It's like a bunch of maggots out there just crawling all over the place. And we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our county. We need to pray for our city. That God would help us to raise up boys and girls and men and women to serve the Lord and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's looking for the ultimate high. Everybody's looking for something to just give them a better buzz the next time. And you know and I know that it always takes a person down. The more they go after it, more destruction it brings. I'm amazed about the people that are always trying to get something for nothing, always trying to get something. Listen, why don't we just, you know, why don't we just work? Work hard, get a good job, get working, serve, you know, get away from this idle time in our life, get serving, doing something for God that's productive and being good citizens of our country. In the 1800s, there's a young girl that watched through the prison bars and envied a milkmaid. She saw that little girl come and go with those buckets of milk on her shoulders. And it seemed as though that little girl came as she pleased as she left and went back and forth. If only this little girl that was in the prison looking out those bars had only known that in a few days she would be a lot freer, that little milkmaid, her name Queen Elizabeth of England. For the days she sadly waited in jail, if someone would have just told her that the next 44 years, her reign over England, that the sun would never set on every place that they owned and ruled, what a glorious reign she enjoyed. Many people are whining and pining today over the things that they have no idea that God has in store for them. If only the queen had known, she would have not envied that poor little dirty milkmaid. I think that sometimes we in life, we envy people that have so much. I was preaching one service, and there's a man about three seats back and in about three. I didn't realize he's a millionaire. And I was talking about life, and I was talking about, you know, there are some people that have so much money that they don't know what to do with it all, and they have so many garages, and they have so much equipment and so much farmland, they don't even remember where the tractor is. And a good thing they have a dog. Dog will run out to it, amen. But I said, the problem is some of these guys have so many barns and garages full of stuff, and they can't even find what they already have, and so they have to just go buy a new one. And he sat there and chuckled to himself, but the Holy Spirit was working in his heart, and that night he received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He walked down the aisle, and he said, "You were talking about me, weren't you?" I said, "I have no idea." I said, "What?" He said, "I am a multimillionaire." And he said, "The other day, I went to get something. I couldn't find it. And then I couldn't even get in because the guard dogs were in there. Wouldn't even let into my own property. And then when I got there, I couldn't even find the key to the lock to get in there. So I just went and bought one." And he said, "You know what? I am not happy." He said, "Preacher, you tell them that a rich man is not happy. Because we're always worrying about somebody taking what we've already accumulated. You know, there's people in this world that just think that they just got to have so much." I had a fellow in church back in South Dakota. Any new thing he bought. And Ski-Doo just came out with a brand new snowmobile. And he was so excited, went down and bought himself a Ski-Doo. And first time he had it out, he broke the thing. Then he didn't have enough money to fix the thing. And I know a lot of guys, you know, they got a lot of stuff in their garage, and maybe the gas has turned bad on it because they haven't used it for a long time. Life, when you are living for yourself, you'll never be fulfilled. And I think that David found this when he said, "Fret not thyself." That is, we must not fret at God's providence in our life. God brings things to us. God brings things around us so that we can be, may I say, become bigger or become stronger or become the person that God wants us to be. There are so many people that fear change, so many people that fear moves, so many people are fearing a new job or fearing new work, and they get there, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, you start feeling comfortable. And you start finding out people's names, start doing things if it's the area that you like. But the Bible says that we should not fret at God's providence. And we must trust in the Lord to do good. And we must delight ourselves in the Lord, not place our satisfaction on earthly things, but delight ourselves in the Lord. This is of the Lord. This is what God has given me to do. This is an area that God has put me in. I ought to rejoice and be glad in it. My dad used to say, "Hey, make hay when the sun's shining." And that's some pretty good advice. You know, when you have your strength and when you have the fervor about you, you ought to do everything you can and what you can while you can. Amen. Because one of these days, you're going to wish you could get out of bed, and you can't get out of bed without somebody helping you. So you better do what you can do, amen. And do it with all your might. You find something to do it, do it with all your might, the Bible says. It says that we ought to have patience and exhibit humble affections. You know, there's a lot of people out there that really need your help. They need your love. They need your encouragement. We must have an upright conversation. I want you to look at it here at verse 14. We didn't read this, but the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow and cast down the poor and needy and slay such as be of upright conversation. The Bible teaches us here that we ought to be careful how we speak. Oh, I hear a lot of grumbling, complaining. I hear a lot of grouchy old people today. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Well, I can't believe what. Hey, listen. Relax. First of all, it's none of your business. And secondly, don't waste God's breath on it. Amen. And the Bible said we must speak righteously and get the law into our heart. Verse 30. Go down there. Verse 30. This won't cost you about a couple of dollars here. I'm just giving you a little extra here. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and the tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Every problem that a Christian has, is a Bible problem. Every problem that a Christian has is a Bible problem. I'll guarantee you, you leave your house and you take off without reading your Bible, I'm going to tell you, troubles and sorrows are going to travel with you all day. I mean, you remember that old cartoon that had the guy that had the storm cloud over his head? We don't get those good cartoons anymore. Every place he went, he had a storm cloud over his head. Let me tell you, that's what it is when you go without the Bible. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans there. It is important for us to read the Bible. Study the Word of God. You ought to be Bible people. You ought to be people of the book. Isn't it interesting that this psalm was written a couple of thousand years ago? Speaks of the very problems that endangers me today. And endangers you today. In the hour of adversities, when we think that we have been treated harshly, when one of our family members been dealt unfairly, when we see a person who is completely destitute of Christianity, who is not honest, who stands there rejoicing at his abundant wealth, let me tell you something, friend. I want to remind you that God will set the record straight one day. God will set the record straight one day. The troubles and heartaches we go through today, hey, it's okay. You guess who knows what's going on? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. He promises that. Corey, could you help her with this? The Bible says, fret not. Neither be thou envious of those who make all that. This command is greatly needed today. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. The fret means to worry. It really comes with the idea, in Hebrew, it has this idea of having a heartburn. How many ever had a heartburn? Sure, all of you teenagers. All you families with teenagers, you got a heartburn, amen? Yeah, heartburn. Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, life is going to be destroyed. Life is going to be, you know, our teenage kids, you know, the life is, oh, it's ruined. It's ruined. Oh, I got one text, so I'm going to kill myself. Oh, it may sound funny, but it ain't funny. One little text. This is why you teenagers need to base your life on the Word of God. You ought to be reading it. Hey, school's starting Wednesday. Or already started over to Centerville. Go Miners. Let me tell you something. You better have this in your heart. Hey, you guys in the military. You young guys that are not married. You better have the Word of God in your heart. You young fathers. You better have the Word of God in your heart. Because she's going to want something and you don't got it. And she's going to buy it anyway, whether you don't got it. And you're going to have a heartburn. Hunting season come up, boys. Remember, what you spend for yourself, you always spend for your wife. Heck, man. I was with a guy one time who went down to Shields, bought a brand new 300 Winchester Magnum. Beautiful piece of artistry and equipment. I said, man, that's nice. Yeah, I said, I'm buying that for my wife's birthday. You know where liars go. Heritage Baptist. To fret means to worry, to heartburn. Hey, you know what it also means? It means to fume. Have you ever been around anybody that fumed? You almost smell it. You just see the smoke just about ready to ignite. The Bible said, don't fume. Well, it's just not fair. How many have heard that lately? Well, it's just not fair. Well, first of all, the devil does not play fair, and he doesn't care. And neither do a lot of people that you know. And even some of your friends, you don't, they don't care. Friends are someone you can use, they say. Here's another word they use for, the translator used to take this word out of the Hebrew. It means to vex, to become vexed. To be bitter. You know, the Bible says being bitter is worse than having cancer. I don't know about you, but boy, that's not something I want. To show bitterness. Or to make bitter. That's what that word fret means. That is what a lot of parents do to their children. Some things that are taken out of context and said in the heart of the moment will not be a big thing, but it just puts wood on the fire and becomes bigger than it ever was. Oh, folks, let's be careful that we fret not at the things of evildoers. Psalm 119, verse 165, I spoke on this Wednesday night. I'm speaking on the Psalms on Wednesday. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend means to trip. Nothing will trip you up when you have the love of the law, of the Word of God in your heart. You know, I think this is probably the hardest verse in the Bible. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of people who are offended. I meet a lot of people that are just flipped out on the way that people are doing things, the people are treating things. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Let me tell you what nothing means in the Hebrew. Nothing. Absolute nothing. Nothing will offend them if they love the Lord God's law, the Word of God. We are a great influence on our families and others. I wonder how many families go to hell because their Christian sister or brother were offended. I've been in the ministry 46 years. I've seen it come. I've seen it go. I have no idea how many sermons I've preached at funerals. I don't know how many times I've went to the family before the funeral and sat down with them and they start telling me about the life of the person that has deceased. And usually in that, there's always an Uncle Charlie or an Aunt Betty. And you always hear how they offended and how that they hadn't seen their mom for years. Wouldn't even come over to see their mom. But then they say, and they're supposed to be Christians. And we're not. We wouldn't treat our parent like that. But they call themselves Christians. God have mercy on our wicked soul. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty rough deal when you see things happening like that. You see families not getting together. Read the Scriptures. Great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace have they that love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. Our sinful nature is very well equipped to handle or to kindle the fire with jealousy. Something happened in my home and I made up my mind that I was not going to let possessions take away my relationship. And there was a statement made by one of my siblings, and I said, it's okay. Deep down inside of me, old devil was punching me in the gut. It wasn't fair. That wasn't right. Everybody knew it wasn't right. But I said, it's okay. And it was a really stupid little thing. But I had my rights. I could straighten things out. I could have taken my rights. But I probably wouldn't have been very welcome in that home anymore. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't give you heartburn. Here's what I can rely on. God is in control. He has won the victory. And I will stand before Him someday how I've done in this old world. Did you know that after about 5 or 6 years, our siblings, we laughed about it? I could have been cranked about it. I'm the only son. I could be really cranked about it. But I'm not going to take possessions over relationships. Because you can lose possessions. And possessions burn. And possessions will rust. And possessions will fall apart. I've seen families get so mad they want their grandma's bed. And fight, take them to court, get the bed home and it breaks. Funniest thing. What a joke. And what a sad thing we make about life. Hey, am I a Christian? Have I trusted Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that. Am I a Christian? Just say that to yourself. Am I a Christian? Are the things that I do influence others? Am I more like Jesus Christ every day? Is my relationship with my family, my wife, my children more important than possessions to have? Our sinful nature always equips us to kindle the fire of jealousy. When we see lawbreakers riding that brand new car or pickup or four-wheel drive or you name it, and it seems like you see the Christian always driving up in that old beater. Family, our church, bought a brand new car. And it was a Grand Am. It had that great big eagle in the front. It was just decked out, big old tires in the back. I mean, today, and I heard that thing start, three-quarter race cam, you know. I mean, it was hot. And I was down at Shields, and I was coming out of Shields, and this guy didn't tell me he bought this car. He said, "Hey, preacher, what do you think of this car?" I said, "Oh, they all burn oil and gas." That was not the response he wanted. He almost got mad at me. He says, "I just bought that." "Oh, man, that's beautiful." They all burn oil and gas, you know. You know what? He didn't have it but 3 or 4 years. Wore out, broke up. Went and got something else. In our life, what is the most important thing in our life? God. God is the center of the universe. God should be the center of our life. All the things we have and all the things we do should all point to Jesus Christ. You say, oh, preacher, that's just an old preacher preaching, yeah? Well, you live that way and you'll have a pretty good deal, but you're always chasing that elusive dream. You're always trying to chase and try to grab the ultimate high. You're always trying to get something that's just out there. If you ain't just get a hold of that, you're crazy. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your children, your grandchildren, is the most important thing of your life. Your relationship in your church, your relationship to this Word of God is the most important thing of your life. Hey, fret not of thyself, the evildoers. Be thou envious not of those that have everything that seems like to turn around. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Secondly, trust in the Lord. But that's not the end of it. It says, trust the Lord, but do good. That's our responsibility, doing good. I was amazed by the scriptures that my brother read this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 28. It says this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Would you look in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. I have read the Ephesians. I have studied it. I went to college and took the book of Ephesians. I have combed it. I have gone through it. I've structuralized it. I've been in it. But I never saw this. Until this morning, one of my brothers in our church read this. He said this. He read, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. That's incredible. That's what we're supposed to be doing. There's an old preacher that said, I got a sermon I'm going to preach without even saying a word. Watch this. That's what most of us do. We pray to get instead of pray to give. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Be not envious against those that work as iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee. Read it. Do it again. And he shall give thee. I grew up with three sisters. I am the spoiledest guy in the world. In fact, I'm so spoiled you can almost smell me. When I was growing up, my sisters would always do stuff for their brother. Always. My mama told me that I was her best son that she ever had. That took me a long time to figure that out, that I was her only son. He said to give the desires of your heart. What is your desire today? If you practice the things that I spoke about to you today, your life will be different. If you're always expecting somebody to give you something, you are going to be one disappointed person. If you're always expecting somebody to serve you, let me tell you something, they're always late. If you're expecting someone to bring something over to you, if they bring it over, it's not as good as you thought you were going to get. And you'll be disappointed. It's about time we as a church wake up and say, you know what? It's about Him. It's not about me. It's about serving God. It's not about getting served. It's about doing things for others instead of having others do things for me. Years ago, a missionary came through and he says, I'm sick and tired of this. I said, well, you're sick and tired of what? He said, I'm sick and tired of being out on the road and going begging people for money all the time. I said, well, you got to do it. I said, that's only where you're going to get the mission. I know, but he said, I'm sick and tired. I've always been a giver. I'm not a taker. I don't like it. God used that guy in a great way. Hey, can God use you? Or are you just sitting on your blessed promises and hoping somebody's going to bring it to you? Or are you out there doing something for God? He said, but Pastor, I'm old. I can't get around much more. You can pray. Listen to me. You can pray. You can pray for the souls of saved. You can pray. He said, I don't have any money. You don't need money. Serve God. You don't have any money. You can serve God in a great way. Yeah, but people won't say enough. Wait a minute. That's not what it's about. It's not what people think of you or what people they think you can do. It is what God thinks and does through you. Well, I'm telling you what, our churches are a mess. People come to church, all they do is sit. They come to church and sit and leave. They do nothing. You say, well, I'm not doing much at the church. Well, there's plenty of stuff around here you want to do. My phone number is 899-2810. I'd sure help you, give you some information you could do. Hey, let's serve God. There's a whole boatload of people out there never heard about Jesus Christ. They don't know that they have a home in heaven. They don't know when the critical and the heartaches come. They don't know who to turn to. You do. You're spoiled. We're a bunch of spoiled Christians that have so much. And there's people out there that have so little. Hey, the Bible says they're going to be cut down and withered to green grass. Over. But not us. We have a hope that endures. We have a hope that is sure. We have a hope named Jesus Christ who promised to come and to take us home with Him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I promise you that. Father, I pray you'd help us today to get a hold of this idea, Lord. Help us to quit our fighting. Help us to quit our complaining and griping and heartburn and just being upset with life. Help us to be thrilled with what God has for us. Oh God, even as a little lady who came to God and said, God, please heal my daughter. And He says, why should we give food to the dogs? And she said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Dear God, all we want is crumbs. We don't have to have a 7-course meal. Lord, just give me the crumbs. Bless these folks today, Lord. Many of them have heartaches and sorrows, many of them troubles. Some of them don't know which way to turn. But Lord God, you've got the answer. We ask you today, you show them. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. I hear people talking about it all the time. I'd sure like to know Jesus is my Savior. You're here today and say, Preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved. I haven't followed Lord and believed in baptism yet. I know I need to do that. Preacher, would you pray for me that God would give me courage to do that? Father, you know the hearts and lives of these people. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak, Lord, that your servant would hear. Lord, I pray that you just help now. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves completely to you. Lord God, I pray for the invitation time in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask you to stand to your feet? I'll be up front here. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. I need to know that for sure. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd split hell wide open. I just don't know it, but I'd sure like to know. My friend, won't you come to Jesus today? Won't you come today and say, today, I want Jesus in my heart. Why don't you come right now? Step out of that seat, walk down that aisle and say, hey, that's me. You hear today and say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. This is where we want to serve God at. We want to serve right here. This is where we have chosen. We believe this is where God wants us to be. Your day and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, today's the day. Come on. You're here today and say, preacher, I've asked Jesus in my heart. Saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why didn't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve. Why don't you come at this time?